from then on until we left the Lower East Side in the 1920s, we were very poor. My father's maximum salary was $45 a month, plus his rum and coal, as the janitor of the three tenement houses I've described. But we did manage to eke out an honorable existence, my father continuing in his orthodoxy and observances of the Sabbath and the holidays, my mother always trying to contrive through getting into one business or another. At successive times, she had a home furnishing store which went bankrupt on the very property where we were the janitors, and a stand for what was then called dry goods, to wit, piece goods, in front of the building, as Orchard Street was a major market, pushcart market, on the Lower East Side, which also, though it didn't go bankrupt, it wasn't big enough for that, went out of business. But nonetheless, she kept trying. And one of the earliest memories of my childhood, I couldn't have been more than 10 or 11, was when I went with my mother on a hired horse and dray wagon to some address on Worth Street, where we bought a large stock of defective chinaware and other crockery and house and home utensils to take back to our store for sale as a bargain merchandise. And also my recollection of a pushcart upon which some of this merchandise was piled, and which I and such voice as I had advertised its wares. I suppose it might be fair to say that my interest in small business, which has been continuous throughout my political life in a rather specialized way, may be said to date from these childhood experiences. Similarly, my deep concern with housing, without any question, dates from my experiences as a son of a janitor on the Lower East Side. The abysmal conditions in which we lived had to be seen. They could hardly be described. One toilet to serve four families in a black hallway on each of the five stories of each of these tenements, an almost impossible situation for either cleanliness or sanitation, with a constant odor pervading these hallways from top to bottom almost all the time, no matter how what Herculean efforts my mother and father made to keep them clean. And then the yards between the buildings, knee-deep in garbage, which the tenants continued to throw out of their windows, no matter how often the janitor and such helper as he could get cleaned this Aegean stable. Essentially, that's what it was. Two intimate memories of my childhood, though I cannot, a few intimate memories of my childhood, though I cannot ascribe any particular political activity to them, were the following. First, a very old, to me, might have been not more than 50, black gentleman who was my father's assistant, and for his compensation cellar of one of the tenement buildings near the what was called the engine, which was used to pump water to the upper stories and had to be kept oiled and greased accordingly, and who was probably a congenital alcoholic and derelict, called Charlie Sugarbum, who, when I was a child, delighted in carrying me around in his arms, and he seemed to have had a very special affection for me. The other is of a policeman, as my father was, as our home was a central place of rest and recreation for the local police, where they could always get a cup of tea, or if a fortunate smiled upon us, even a drink, and which was very useful to my father, who was something of a local Tammany Hall captain. And therefore found it very important to be friendly with the police. A particular policeman named Jim Melody also had a rather apparently a special affection for me. Just like Charlie Sugarbum would occasionally carry me around in his arms to the delight of all the neighbors. I remember Jim Melody of the 5th Precinct, the then 5th Precinct, very well indeed, and indeed in later years, tried to seek him out, but found that he had retired and passed away. The third element in my childhood experience, which is of note, was my connection with the University Settlement, a East Side Settlement House, which was located at Rivington and Eldred Streets, three city blocks from my home on Stanton Street, where I was early sent to kindergarten by my mother, and where I learned to take a bath, as they had showers for poor children, to play basketball, which was the major sport, and ultimately to participate in club life as a member and secretary of the Cornell Club, one of the clubs for youngsters up to 12 or 13 years of age. By the way, the 13 year of age emphasis, which I seem to have given here, is a very real one, for our family was an Orthodox Jewish family, and the bar mitzvah of a young Jew, a young male Jew, age 13, is really not only the qualification which he must have to make a member of a group which can pray together as a group called a minyan, which consists of 10 Jews over the age of 13, but also represented a real milestone in one's personal and educational life, in a complete break with previous activities as a lower, as an elementary school attendee, and as a member of a club in a settlement house like the University Settlement. One of the matters of great pride at the University Settlement was the fact that Eleanor Roosevelt had started her career as a house worker at the University Settlement, though she came even a little bit before my time in that capacity. Good scholarship came came early and almost naturally to me. I was on the honor roll of PS-20, then located across the street from the university settlement. When I graduated in the winter of 1917, and my most vivid recollections of my elementary school career were in the fact that I became something of a public speaker. Here indeed is a very strong influence in my later life, and was singled out for all school recitations of famous poems. I made a particular specialty of the patriotic ode, and here leave the space blank and I will ascertain it. Also, I enjoyed my English classes enormously, and did not enjoy nearly as much my classes in mathematics, though I apparently did well in both. Spencerian penmanship was still practiced in those days as part of the elementary school curriculum, and I suffered through that as best I could. But to this day, my handwriting remains almost unintelligible, needs interpretation by me and a very sympathetic secretary. Turning back now to our lives at home, these were mainly distinguished by the quiet and sentimental simplicity and yet beauty of the Sabbath, which was when everything suddenly fell into place. The house was quiet and clean. The food was specially prepared. Everyone dressed, considering our most limited means, appropriately. A certain dignity pervaded the streets, as the Lower East Side was then almost completely a Jewish ghetto, and synagogue attendance was widespread. My father continued in his orthodoxy, and indeed it was the despair of his life when, as my brother became more liberated in terms of his relationship to the American scene, he more and more ceased to practice the ritual, such as the laying of the phylacteries upon arising in the morning. My mother gloried in these weekly Sabbath. For her too, it was a very rare time of rest and tranquility and the enjoyment of her husband, who otherwise worked so hard in such dismal circumstances. Indeed, the one holiday that stands out in my mind above all others is the Passover service, as the complete embodiment of all of these qualities. Indeed, the whole house had to be not only clean, but very special and otherwise unused china and utensils employed during the Passover season. And the ritual itself was one of great nobility, telling as it did the story of the Jews' escape from slavery under the Pharaohs to freedom with Moses. first attendance at high school was at DeWitt Clinton, which was then at 59th Street and 10th Avenue in Manhattan, and which took a subway ride from the Lower East Side every day. I was very unhappy at DeWitt Clinton and never could become acclimated or accustomed to what seemed to me to be a different pace and quality of life. More urban in the sense of stress and competition, and less conducive to